So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we say with Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving the world and sending the Lord Jesus. We honor you. We praise you. May the Holy Spirit of God pour out the love of God in our hearts for those of us who are saved, and on those who do not know you, may they be drawn to your love today. We thank you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you again, choir. Would you join me in saying thank you to choir, Steve, Lori, all the orchestra. Thank you all. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're here as a guest, we're honored to have you. Colossians chapter 1 is where we're looking these days. And we're spending our time during the holidays, both Thanksgiving and all the way through Christmas, looking at these wonderful words found in the first chapter of Colossians. It is perhaps the most concentrated area in the New Testament, with maybe the exception of Hebrews chapter 1, focusing upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we preach Jesus here without apology, and we honor the Lord Jesus, and we worship him as our Lord and Savior. So I challenge you today as a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, over the holiday season, I hope you'll take these words, especially we're looking in Colossians chapter 1 at verses 15 through 20, and then we'll also be looking at some additional things in the book of Colossians in the days ahead. But for now, our focus is here, and I hope that you'll set your mind on things above. That's what we learn to do, and that's what's important. As we come to this season of time, as we think about Thanksgiving, as we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this world, becoming the God-man who saved us, we need to think about and set our minds, as Paul teaches us in this very book, Colossians chapter 3, to set our minds on things above. The best suggestion I have for some of you today with the trouble that you're having is to quit thinking about your troubles and think more about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, you'll discover and put your faith in the one who is great and powerful and can help you with all of your needs. So you have to have a change in your thinking. You have to decide to think differently. So I'm calling you today for the next little while together. We draw our minds now. We draw our focus away from everything else we've got to do. And we think about the Lord Jesus, the glorious one, the supreme one, the majestic one. And I do this every week. I make a good confession to you. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if you'll stand now and honor the reading of the Word of God, we look at Colossians. Paul wrote this book to, as I've said before, a group of Christians in this local church, this local assembly of believers, whom he had not met, but he knew about them and their faith in Jesus Christ, and he writes these words, and his first words focus upon having them understand the glory of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. He, that is the Lord Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of the Word of God today as we seek to honor the Lord Jesus in words and in our thoughts. Holy Spirit of God, as we honor Jesus and exalt him, may people be drawn to him today. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So our focus today, the focal truth is very clear from verse number 18. We'll spend our time, especially in Colossians 1:18. I will make some other comments about some other verses in the book, so I hope you'll keep your Bible open. The focus today is this: the Lord Jesus, this is good news. This is good news. This is great news. All of these words help us to have hope and assurance and confidence in a world filled with pain and misery and hopelessness. These good news words come because we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse number 18, we focus on the Lord Jesus' relationship to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are many things said about this all around us. Before I go into this, I want you to point out some things. You may not have been with us in the past, and so I want to catch you up. Verse number 15, we learned a few weeks ago that if you want to know who the invisible God is, you must look to Jesus. So we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our Bibles, written by eyewitnesses who walked with Jesus. Now look, if you're here today, the question of whether Jesus was a real person or not has been settled. He was a historic figure. You must decide whether you believe his claims. He claims to be the Son of God. He claims to be equal with God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Lord Jesus' claim is that he is fully God and fully man. And Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God. This word image, as we talked about, means an exact duplicate in every detail. There's nothing in the unseen God in his character and nature that is not true of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spoke much about this, and I must go on. He is the firstborn, in verse 15, of all creation. That doesn't mean he was created. He is the firstborn. Like many of us in this room, we're firstborn into our families. It's a title of rank, of authority. He is the one over creation because we see in the next verse, verse 16, he created all things. I labored around this a few weeks ago, and I say it to you again. It's a very serious thing when a Christian says, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't believe that he created the world. It's a very dangerous thing. You must think about it, because the Word of God says that he is the creator of all things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authority. Part of my confession of faith, part of my confidence in knowing the Lord, is that I believe that he is the creator of all things. It's important for us to think about this because it has to do with our walk with God and our faith in him. When we look around at the world, we see these glorious things and we recognize that the Lord is the one who made it all. And so we believe as the Word of God tells us. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the world was prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. All things are created by the Lord Jesus. Whether we see them or not, all of the universe, all of the things that are a part of the created order, including mankind, woman, and all the rest, all the plants, all the animals, everything we see came directly at the hands of the Lord Jesus. He is the creator. And then we see in verse 17, he's before all things. The Lord Jesus was before you. You must remember the order. The Lord Jesus was before you. You see, these words that we're reading teach us about the lordship of Jesus Christ. Lordship is not an optional thing for you today. You must confess him as Lord to be a believer and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But whether you believe he's the Lord or not doesn't change his lordship. The Lord Jesus is Lord, regardless of how man responds to him. He is creator of all things. He is before all things. And in verse 17, all things hold together by his power. The magnificence of the universe and all that's here is still held together this very moment by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it and he holds it together. And one day, as we saw last week, one day when the day of the Lord comes, the heavens will burn up with heat and all of the earth and everything will be consumed with fire. There will be the atom will be split. And there will be nuclear disaster. You must come to know the Lord. This is a very serious thing. The day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. No more grace, no more salvation, no more mercy, judgment, destruction. And then there will come a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. But now we come to these wonderful words. I have good news for you. The church is in great shape because the head of the church lives eternally. Isn't that good news? Yes, it is. Oh, I've lived long enough to hear all the hand-wringing about the church, worried about the church. What will the church be? The church isn't going to make it. How's the church going to get by? What will we do? Well, we have to clarify some things here, and I want you to see this, and I'll begin with several general observations, and then I want to apply some things for us today so that we don't miss this great news. Number one, the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the church. Some of this for some of you is a repeat, but let me tell you, nothing we repeat today isn't important for you today as it was the first time you heard it. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of the church, his body. Now, I've used the word Lord rather than what Paul says here in verse 18. He is the head. Let's talk about that word. This Greek word for head is used in two ways. It describes both the boss, the chief, the master. He is the head. Somebody's the head. Somebody's the head of the organization. Somebody directs it. Somebody helps the organization to know what the organization's to do. The organization's called the church. And the word church means called out ones. If you're here today, you see you don't join a church like a club. It's not like a Lions Club or going to the Chamber of Commerce. The church is made up through all the generations since the preaching of the Lord Jesus at Pentecost. The church is made up of all of those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. The church is made up of those who are saved and called out of darkness, like Peter says, out of sin, out of wickedness, out of the world. We're called out of it, and we don't live like that anymore. He called us out. We responded to him by faith when we heard Jesus Christ preached in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension and his coming again. And we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ from these records of the Bible, and we've been saved. We're a part now of the church of the living Lord Jesus. We are a part. He is the head, which also means the literal head of a body. So he is head. Your body can't function without a head. I'll go ahead and give you this. If you don't get anything else today, remember this. A body without a head is dead. A body without a head is dead. He is the head of the church. We'll talk about it here in just a moment. So I want you to think about who you are today. There are lots of people who come. So the church is the called out of every generation who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have all of these letters that Paul wrote to these different local groups, gatherings of the church. The church is not a building. The church is made up of those who are the redeemed and saved of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So we gather here at First Baptist Church. We're one of numerous churches in the area, those called out ones who gather. But those who come, this place is open to all. So in this building today are some who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, and you're called out ones, and some who are still dead in their sins here. And I'm aware of this every time I preach the Bible, every time I preach the gospel. There are some who've been religious all their life, but they've never been saved out of their sin. They're not born again. They've never been, as the Bible says, regenerated. They've never been saved from their sinfulness and come out of the darkness and come alive in Jesus Christ. Well, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And being a part of the church like it's a social club will not help you as you face death. So today, the question is, are you a part of the church? And then he describes the church as the body. This is a miraculous, miraculous thing. Think about the idea and mystery that God put in place. Not much is said, if anything, in the Old Testament about the body of Christ. Paul says it's a mystery that was hidden from all ages and now has been revealed to us. He is also the head of the body. That is, the Lord Jesus is the head. Like our bodies have a head, and our bodies have functioning parts, and the church is scattered to the ends of the world, all over the place, and we function as a part of a body. You have gifts if you're a Christian. You've been born again, and you've been given spiritual gifts, and you're to use your spiritual gifts to serve one another and build up the body of believers, but also for us to go and do what the Lord said for us to do. So if the Lord's the head, I've given you three things. I could have given you numerous more. What does it mean for him to be the head of the church? Well, number one, he directs the church. I have great confidence today in the church until Jesus comes, because the Lord Jesus is the head of the true church. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. In him you also have been made complete. We have what we need here in this church. We have the church. Somebody says, well, the church needs more of this and more of that. Oh, yes, it's an amazing thing. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And here's the church. The church moves on in our day. When the critics have said the church won't last another 10 years, the church will be gone in the next century. The church of tomorrow, there'll be no church of tomorrow. But here we are. After all the hand-wringing, I've heard it for all my life, for 50 years plus, the church is going down. Well, here we are. Another generation has come. We've had other boys and girls step forward already at an age when they understood it and said, I want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Another generation is coming. We teach multiple generations here, the Word of God. Generation after generation. Oh, I have great confidence in the church because the living head, the Lord Jesus Christ, has ascended to heaven and he will come again. Don't you have confidence today? I do. He directs the church. How about this? There's no lack of clarity on the part of the Lord Jesus on what we're supposed to be doing. Now, we get the waters all muddied up because some people want to be in charge and be the boss. Be careful if you want to try to take the Lord's place of being the boss of the church. No church bosses. The Lord's the boss of the church. We're all servants to one another. The Lord made it clear. So what do we do, Lord? Go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. That's a pretty clear directive. In case we didn't get that one before he ascended, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall be my witnesses. That's every one of us. It's come to us in our generation now. It's our responsibility. Just like the early church, just like the apostles in their day to their generation became witnesses, so we must be the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark, miserable world where people need to be saved. You must tell your friends about Jesus Christ and how he has saved you. We've been given direction. He grows the church. Paul describing in this same chapter 2, verse 19 it should be, not verse 9. He describes the importance of holding to the head, staying connected to the head. Because when we do that, let me just read it. He says in verse 19, not holding to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. The Lord Jesus grows the church, and finally, he is united to the church. Jesus prayed these astounding words in his wonderful prayer in John 17. I'll just read them to you for the sake of time. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they also may be in us. That is, think about it now. All of us, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us who've been born again, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are somehow mystically, spiritually connected to God and he to us. It's a miracle. That's why Paul would say such things as this when he's talking about avoiding immorality. Why would you take Christ and join him to a harlot? Talking about spiritual adultery and immorality. You see, you're united to Christ. Christ is united to you. That's what Paul says. Colossians chapter 1. I mentioned it to you a couple of weeks ago. Verse 27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What are the riches of the glory of the mystery of the church? Well, it's this. Are you listening? Christ in you. Christ in you. In you. In you. Paul makes this a point in all of his letters to talk to the churches about discovering this fact. You are in Christ if you're saved, and Christ is in you. And that's the hope of glory. That's what changes your life. You're good for this world and you're good for the next. I have great confidence because Jesus Christ is Lord of the church, his body. Second thing I want you to see is the next few phrases in verse 18. Not only is he the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, I want to go first to the last phrase here, the firstborn from the dead. The Lord Jesus is the life of the church. You see, others Jesus raised from the dead, but they died again, waiting for their glorified body. But I want you to know today, as Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:20, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who are asleep. You see, the Lord Jesus has an incorruptible, indestructible, glorified body today, ascended to a place beyond our imagination, in a real place, beyond time and space, with a glorified body. The Lord Jesus is alive. I have great hope for the church all over the world because Jesus Christ is alive and he gives the church spiritual life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Paul said, you were dead in your sins, Ephesians chapter 2, but you've been made alive. You came back from the spiritual dead, and now you're alive and you're a new person with a new life and a new way of living. You don't live like you used to live in misery. You live in the joy of Jesus. If you're here today and you name the name of Christ, but you live in misery, you must look again at what you've believed. Have you believed an idea? Have you believed a concept, or have you believed in the person, the living Lord Jesus Christ, alive this very moment? You see, the church has life because the Lord Jesus is alive. And then he goes on to say, he is the beginning, verse 18. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The beginning. The church began. He is the creator. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the church. Nobody thought this up. There's no man in the world who becomes the leader and the head of the church. There's no man that's ever been given that title. The Lord Jesus is the head of his church. The Lord Jesus is the creator of it. This idea in verse 18, he is the beginning, can also be understood as he's the source. He started it. The Lord Jesus started it. He said, when Peter made the good confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, what did the Lord say? That's right, Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. The Lord creates and builds the church. The Lord's the one who adds to its number. And the Lord added to the church, we read in the book of Acts. Oh, it's a very, very dangerous thing when people invade and step in trying to take over what the Lord does in the church. We must be careful. So we see in these words the very importance of the Lord as head of the church, the body. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. And then Paul comes to a conclusion. And I want to spend the remainder of my time, just for a few moments, in the time we have left, focusing on how to apply this. I call it daily use. So what do we do with all of these truths, these unbelievable truths? Well, I've given you a number of things, and I want to just linger on these for a moment. Number one is the end of verse 18. So because he is the head of the body of the church, he is the beginning, he's the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now I ask you this today. Is the Lord Jesus, be honest. Be honest with the Word of God. Be honest with what you're about to hear me say. Is the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life? Have you put the Lord Jesus as first? When you say Lord, that means he's first. He's first in your marriage. He's first in your parenting, your grandparenting. He's first when you go to work in your job. He's first. He's first in your personal relationships. He's first when you come to this church. He's first. That in everything, he comes to have, the other word is preeminence, superiority. He goes first. The Lord is first and we are last. He is first, our neighbor is second, and we are last, as we've talked about many times when we were studying the law of God. Jesus Christ is first, and he's to have the first place in my life. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. He created all things you can see and don't see. He is the head of the church, the body of Christ. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, still alive. He deserves to be first. And is he first in your life? That's a question we must all ask. Secondly, it's time to grow up. You see, when we're connected, the good news about the way God made your body is because you're connected to your brain with all of the many things that happen with the chemicals in the brain and all the rest, you've grown. And some of you look pretty good. You're full-grown people in here. Congratulations. You're full-grown. Some of us are overgrown people. Full-grown. What does he say? Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. That's what I'm to do. I'm to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if I'm alive and I'm spiritually alive and I've confessed Jesus as Lord and I'm connected to him, guess what? I will grow. Jesus said, just like branches on a vine, the only way they get fruit is to be connected. You're connected to the Lord, you will grow. If you're not growing and you say you're a Christian, you must look seriously at whether or not you are truly born again, growing up in all things under the Lordship of Christ. And then I have some encouraging words: freely submit to serve him. Freely. Completely obey his commands. Constantly abide in him. And willingly repent of sin against him. These things, this is the normal Christian life I'm describing. This is what it means for me to be a part of the body of Christ. This is what it means for me to be in it. You see, when every part of the body of Christ is obeying and willing to do what the Lord does, the work of God moves forward with glorious efficiency and effectiveness. I ask you today, are you freely submitting to serve God wherever he sends you? Now, I was with some of our men the other day, and I was complaining about having to go. I was griping. I have a right to gripe once in a while. And I don't want to go to the DMV and get that star on my license. Who invented this idea? Who came up with this? And you have to go up there, and if you don't, this is a public service announcement. You better make sure you've got your Social Security card, proof of where you live, and your birth certificate. Because I went in there and sat, and I was number 67 for about 2 days, it seemed like, in there, waiting and waiting. Will I ever be 62 or 3 or 0? And finally, I go there and say, well, sir, you don't have all your documents. By the way, we're closed tomorrow. Have a nice holiday. We'll see you soon. One of the wise guys said to me, well, Pastor Mike, maybe the Lord wants you to go to DMV to do your job. Good point. Maybe I was sitting up there for 3 hours because I was supposed to do something, right? Are you freely submitting to serve the Lord? He sends you somewhere you don't want to go. All these things that are coming in your life, they push you around. And we don't like to be pushed around by our circumstance. They're pushing you around. They're pushing you around to do certain things, and you wonder, why? Why am I getting pushed around to do this? That's where you learn. Whatever it is, you freely serve the Lord because he's the head. He's the chief. He's the Lord. And apparently, he wants that in your life if you're a follower of Jesus, completely obeying his commandments. Acts 13:22. Paul's preaching, and he talks about David. A man, God found David. Listen to this. A man after his own heart, listen, who was willing to do all the will of God. Are you willing to do all the will of God or just the part you like? Well, I like those commands, but I don't really like these, so we don't really get a choice. Are you willing to completely obey the Lord and constantly abide in him? This has to do, my dear friends, I love you in Jesus. I appeal to you about this every day. This has to do with your spiritual disciplines. This has to do with how do you pray? How do you read the Word of God? How do you worship? How do you honor God? How do you serve Him? How do you do your good works? Are you abiding in Christ? The Lord Jesus said clearly, John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. I have a responsibility to grow in my relationship to Jesus Christ. I ask you today, as I've asked every week while we've been on this, have you even thought about the Lord Jesus Christ this week? Does the Lord Jesus ever cross your mind? I think of this unbelievable hymn. It goes through my head all the time. Name of all majesty, fathomless mystery, King of the ages by angels adored, power and authority, splendor and dignity, bow to His majesty, Jesus is Lord. That's what I must do. Bow to His majesty. Whatever you have said for me to do, if that means loving that person who is so ugly to me and takes advantage of me and miss you, if I have to give to somebody freely, if I have to give them the coat off my back, if I have to go the second mile, whatever it is you tell me to do, I bow to you, the majestic one, the Lord. Constantly meeting Him in prayer. Look, does your time with the Lord, do you value it and prize it more and treasure it more than you do any time with anybody you love? Abiding. Where does the power come from? Where does the strength come from? From abiding, from being with the Lord. Peter and James are standing in front of that council of 70 in that semicircle as the Sanhedrin used to sit. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Acts, when they were declaring, Peter and John were declaring who Jesus was, they observed that they didn't have any education. Listen, but they had been with Jesus. So you get ready to go to work tomorrow. Does anybody know and see that you've been with Jesus? And then finally, repentance. Sometimes people have the idea that you repent just one time and it's all done. No. We confess our sin and we repent. What does the Lord do in Revelation 2 and 3? Oh, most of you in this room know what I'm talking about. You see, because the Lord is the head of the body of the church, He had some things to say to some local churches in Asia Minor, just like He has to. What is the Lord saying to First Baptist Church Dixon? We better listen. The Lord says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I reprove. And then you know what He says? Be zealous and repent. Today I wonder in my life, is there something else the Lord is showing me that I need to repent of? Maybe it's in my thoughts. No one else knows those thoughts, but the Lord does. He knows what I've been thinking ever since I came into church today. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows what you're thinking right now. Do you ever think about the Lord Jesus? Do you desire and treasure your time with Him? Are you free, constantly, willingly, connecting yourself to Him and submitting to Him and confessing Him as Lord? Well, I finish by saying to you another, I have to do it. I've been singing another hymn. I'm not going to sing it for you because I only sing it to the Lord. Thank goodness He's the only one that can stand to hear it. But I've been thinking about this old German hymn. It was written anonymously in 1677, and you know it. It's over 300 years old. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature. Now I'm going to say this. O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. That's what it means to have Jesus as your Lord.